Thanks for tuning in to the Medivac Podcast, powered by the Robert Irvine Foundation, whose mission is to support and strengthen the physical and mental well-being of our nation's heroes and their families. I'm one of your hosts, David Reed.
And I'm your other host, Christian Myers. Thank you very much for joining us today on the Medivac Podcast. If you're new here, there's a price for the show. You have to share it with a friend or family member if you get something out of today's episode. We got some really cool topics we're going to cover today with our guest, Sam Peterson.
Well, thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah, Sam is a former Army EOD technician. He spent about 6.5 years in the Army, a couple combat deployments there. He's now an MBA and the founder of Patriot Power Up, serial entrepreneur. He's also involved in a couple other programs we're going to talk about today. But big points of topic today are mental health and alternative modalities. So welcome, Sam.
Yeah, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
You know, I'm really excited to just share that, you know, there is hope for people who have traumatic brain injuries, post-traumatic stress disorder, depression. Like,
strong start.
Hey, we really don't get a good enough feeder for like the pulse of the psychiatric industry right now. And that's been, you know, my life outside of being a bomb technician has been dedicated to that. Cause you know, one of the things that not a lot of people know is that the suicide rate in explosive ordnance disposal is one of the highest in the entire DOD.
Sure.
Because we're constantly exposed to traumatic blasts.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, that is, we're going to kind of rewind it and start back into your military history. But first and foremost, I want to say thanks for coming on the show. I think one of the avenues that we're trying to approach this is that our veterans and those who've served in the military are going on to do some pretty extraordinary things. And what we say on this show all the time is these are the future leaders of America. And this is what we are trying to bring to the audience nowadays is these powerful stories on how to overcome traumas, adversities, trials, tribulations. So thank you so much for coming on today. I know that we have a little bit of history as well. We met at MCON last year, which was an outstanding event. We're a culmination of military businesses and nonprofits came together. So thanks again for taking the trip from down from
Denver,
Colorado.
Beautiful city.
It is. One of my favorite cities in the world, actually.
It is one of the best places to live in the country. Don't tell anybody.
Yeah.
You're not wrong.
That's fantastic. So let's kind of peel back your military history and see kind of like what inspired you to get into the work you're in today.
Yeah. You know, the big thing that inspired me to get into mental health and into traumatic brain injury treatment was being a bomb technician and just seeing the effect that these repetitious blasts have on the human brain. And like, just to give you an example, like some of the best people I knew, I was watching them at the early stages, you know, of dealing with the inflammatory process that's associated with chronic traumatic encephalopathy right in front of my face. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're losing some of the smartest, most capable individuals, you know, in the world, in my opinion. So, you know, just to kind of get to, you know, the point, there was a point when I was about ready to get out of the military that I was done. Like the panic attacks were just soul crushing.
Sure.
I mean, it was a daily occurrence, you know, 2 to 3 hours a day.
Wow.
Would just, something would trigger it. And it was, the only thing I could do was blast heavy metal music, go to the gym and lift.
Sounds
yeah.
like
yeah.
my day to day. You're telling me I have a problem?
I'm telling you, you have a solution.
Oh, hey, nice.
Nice.
And you know, it just got to the point where I was like, I'm done. I can't keep doing this.
How did that manifest itself for you? What did it feel like? What did it look like?
I mean, just a constant hypertensive state, being in a mental framework where everyone and everything is the enemy. Like I remember one, I'd just gotten back from Afghanistan the second time, and just an innocuous thing like going to Walmart. Like I went and bought a new TV at Walmart and I've got it in the cart. And as I'm, you know, walking out, like some dude just gives me a look, like just kind of a fucked up little like side eye. It, you don't know why someone just throws you a mean look, whatever. Sure. But it, I was like, is this guy gonna try to rob me in the parking lot? Like,
yeah, one of those.
Yeah, yeah, one of those. Just
hyper response. Very. Do you know that you're dealing with post-traumatic stress at this point, or is it? Is it something that you're just trying to work out on your own?
Yeah. I mean, at that point, I had no education, no framework.
It's hard to realize while it's happening, too.
Yeah, yeah. And when I went to, you know, I self-referred to behavioral health, they told me it wouldn't affect my security clearance. With, as an EOD tech, you have a TSSCI clearance. You know, you really don't want to screw with that. And they're like, yeah, don't worry about it. You'll be fine. Like, you're self-referring. And it was fine until I had an incident. I had to go, you know, I was a team leader and had to go deal with like a grenade in Grand Junction or something. So okay. I pull up the response truck, go into the ASP, and they're like, yeah, you can't get in here. You're flagged. And I was like, what the fuck do you mean I'm flagged? Hmm. Like, yeah, you there's a flag on here. You're like, you're unstable. I'm like,
news to me.
Yeah, news to me.
So they said you're going to be fine and went ahead and put it on your record.
It was
not fine.
It was not fine.
Yeah, not fine.
Not fine. Mm-hmm. And it, you know, it just continued to snowball from there. I'm like, what? Like, how do I get this off? And nobody could give me an answer. Mm-hmm. So, you know, basically, long story short, I end up on the foot of my bed on Christmas, 45s in my mouth. I'm already pulled the trigger.
And that's because you're just losing your job there. You're losing your identity.
Yeah. I mean, all of it. I was just about to get out. Just had no direction.
Okay.
What's the average feeling that you have in your heart and your soul? Like when you're dealing with this, when you have that gun in your mouth, like what is it that you just couldn't get through?
Honestly, like right, you know, right here, it was like peace. Like, I'm finally not going to have to deal with this mm-hmm. shit.
It's a solution.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, all right, it's just going to be done.
Just want the constant.
Yeah, I just want the constant, like, the anxiety to be quelled.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Is that there was nothing at that point that I had found that could give me any relief from that. Mm-hmm. You know, even, you know, I had quite the problem with alcohol at the time as yeah, well.
Naturally.
So yeah. Natural. I mean, yeah. And yeah, you're in the military, so
goes hand in
nobody,
hand, yeah.
nobody's like, hey, if you try some alternative things, they're a lot more, you know, suited for that physiological process. And absolutely. I didn't know any of that stuff yet. So it was just like, man, I've got to drink a half a handle of Jack Daniels just to be numb enough to walk around a Walmart and not get freaked out. Like I can't do this anymore.
Mm-hmm. And had you tried anything up to that point outside of self-medication?
No, I hadn't tried anything. I used to, back then I believed that everyone that was doing, you know, illicit substances, putting holes in their brain and,
oh yeah.
Yeah. The misinformation,
you know, what put holes in your brain? Benzodiazepines.
Yeah. Yeah. And that war on drugs. It's so crazy to think about that. The mentality has changed over the course of, I mean, even just the last decade where prescription medications were untouchable. They're good for you. Yeah. This is going to help you out. Even though they list just a plethora of side effects and then you need medications to counteract those.
Or like benzos, man. Take those for a couple of years and then try to stop.
Good luck.
Well, you're going to end up in the hospital.
Good luck. Yeah.
Have you seen the documentary Xanax?
I haven't.
It's one that we recommend to people all the time. It talks about how difficult it is to come off Xanax, about how your anxiety gets pegged afterwards, and it's just left to remain.
Have you seen the spec scans of people that are on benzos?
No.
It literally looks like it's holes in the brain. Wow. Yeah. And that's because of the chronic inflammation that, you know, taking those all the time causes.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Wow. So
yeah, that's pretty brutal. But anyway, like I digress on prescription medications, but yeah, they're not a solution. They're just a masking issue.
It's like a Band-Aid when you need a tourniquet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fantastic analogy.
So yeah, anyway, continue.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm sitting there and right as I was about to pull the trigger, my phone goes off. And one of my friends, invited me over to, you know, our version of Christmas. And, you know, I got introduced to alternative modalities like that I'd never heard of that night. You okay. know, I really had some friends wrap their arms around me and say, hey, like, dude, you're fucked up. Mm-hmm. And like, we can tell. And I was like, man, I thought nobody knew. I thought I was putting on a good face. Apparently it wasn't good enough.
Good friends.
Yeah. Yeah. They absolutely saved my life. And you know, through that, I got introduced to things like ketamine infusion therapy, hyperbaric oxygen therapy, and that kind of started this journey.
Okay.
And you know, I was lucky enough to have those people who are like, hey, I see you.
Yeah.
But that doesn't happen for a lot of folks.
It doesn't.
And that really got driven home. About 5 months later, one of, you know, my mentors just walked out into his backyard on Memorial Day and shot himself in the head with his 3-year-old kid in the house. And there was, it just broke me.
Sure.
Like, I was the last guy to talk to him at the unit, and you never would have known.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't.
And he was a friend that was helping you out during your time of need as well.
He was definitely there for me. Like, it just, like, why was the big question. Yeah. And when I got over, like, why the hell did this happen? It became how the hell do I make sure that this doesn't happen again? Because if it's happening to me and it can happen to Neil, it can happen to anybody.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And then that just started this whole, you know, this whole journey, starting with ketamine. You know, okay. I've got relief for the first time, like finally kicked that anxiety monkey off my back.
Sure.
For an extended period of time. I was like, okay, whew, I can take a breath.
And where are you doing ketamine at? How are you doing? Is it with talk therapy?
So I was doing it at an infusion center in Denver.
Okay. So IV ketamine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. I'm much more of a fan of IV administration of that drug for multiple reasons, but we can get into that in a little bit.
Sure.
Yeah. So, you know, started with IV ketamine. I was like, oh man, like all my brain fog's gone too. That's interesting. And then learned about hyperbaric medicine, went and did 40 sessions of hyperbaric oxygen therapy on the back half of that ketamine treatment. And it was like, whew, now like life doesn't suck anymore. Holy shit.
Wow. Mm-hmm. And what's your default emotion at that point? What are you feeling typically?
So, I mean, after the initial ketamine experiences, it went from fully red line anxiety to just this sense of calm clarity.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Like, okay, what's my plan? Well, like, I know where I want to live. I'm figuring out what I want to do. You know, transitioning into the civilian world is always difficult. You know, making explosive devices and tearing them apart doesn't exactly translate over
sure. trade to skills, baby.
Yeah, trade skills. Well, I didn't want to be a cop, so
yeah.
Yeah, that's really the only. You're either a cop or you're an FBI agent if you want to be a bomb tech still. And I was like, eh. Yeah. Not my cup of tea.
Yeah. And also it had given you a list of problems to face and you need to overcome those for sure. This ketamine therapy that you utilized, I mean, how many sessions, what did you do?
Yeah. So I did a series of six.
Okay.
Starting at a fairly low dose, all intravenously, delivered. It's really great. You know, nurse or paramedic was right there. You know, they got me hooked up to an EKG. And yeah, throw on an eye mask, or there's several other like little sensory things that I like to do. And it was like a light switch.
Wow.
Yeah. And you know, now knowing the science of ketamine and, you know, how it basically is a biological reset for your brain, you know, it's control, alt, delete basically.
What did you notice as far as your productivity and your ability to critical think?
It's just like vast increase in focus. Mm-hmm. You know, before it would be really difficult to sit down and just focus on one thing. Any small little errant thought became, you know, a neon squirrel that was running past me. Mm-hmm. And without that, it was cool, calm, collected for the first time in years.
Mm-hmm. So you're finding that your kind of motivation is increasing and you're getting more things done, I'm assuming.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, hey, when you're not worried about you know, having a panic attack all the time, that's a lot easier to get shit done.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
And especially like after the hyperbaric oxygen therapy, like I would, the feeling from that is like, especially after you get past about the first 2 weeks, because the first 2 weeks you're a little lethargic when you get out of the chamber. But after that period, man, you get out of that thing and you feel like you just took an Adderall, like, mm-hmm. but without the, you know, the jitters or the anxiousness or the mood swing on the back end. It's just like you have a ton of energy because you're increasing your cellular ability to create ATP. So now, boom, you got more gas, you have more gas in the tank, and it's just a clean, you know, a clean burn. And you're like, okay, cool. I can do whatever the hell I want to right now. Mm-hmm. Like, let's go climb a mountain or something or start a business.
So let's talk in conjunction, right? So obviously there's some post-traumatic stress involved in there, but something that we're really finding over the last course of the years is how the effect of TBI has on top of post-traumatic stress. Mm-hmm. So I know that you have great education when it comes to that. So let's kind of break down the understanding of post-traumatic stress.
Yeah.
That's going physiologically mm-hmm. in your body, and then traumatic brain injury yep. is what's happening as well.
Cool. Yeah. So, I mean, whenever we're talking about PTSD, depression, anxiety, we're really talking about an underactive prefrontal cortex and an overactive hindbrain. In the case of post-traumatic stress disorder, an overactive amygdala. So you are constantly in that fight, flight, or freeze, and your prefrontal cortex does not have the synaptic density, the neural density, to calm that effect. That prefrontal cortex is involved in a lot of things, but one of the primary functions dealing with the hindbrain and that circuitry is just to tell the rest of your brain to shut the hell up. And you know, that's one of the reasons we use transcranial magnetic stimulation in our treatment protocols, is because of that effect. So, you know, you've got that basically a wiring problem. And not only is that, you know, an issue because you're constantly getting revved up and not able to stop it, but it's also very inflammatory. So when just having that level of cortisol in your brain all the time, it is causing an extra inflammatory cascade. Now, when we go to traumatic brain injuries, it gets even more complicated because now we're dealing with a significant cellular issue. And, you know, like we were talking about during, you know, before we started recording, if you, to really visualize traumatic brain injuries and like the process of how this becomes this issue that leads to chronic traumatic encephalopathy and dementia, like think of a neuron like it's made of Legos. You have to, you know, you have the branches up here, the dendrites, you know, the axon, and as soon as it receives damage, this neuron, which is made of tau proteins, that's what these Legos are made of, it shatters all over the floor. Now you've got all these Legos all over your floor. Now, your brain's normal response to that is to have your glial cells, which are the immune system of the brain. They have a couple different roles. Normally, in a healthy brain, they just sit and they're sitting there as a sentinel cell. When they see something like that happen, or they observe a foreign body, they go into what I call kill mode. It's also, you know, called M1 activation. So they get activated. They see the, you know, the contaminant or the body that they need to get rid of. They shoot reactive oxygen species at it. So that could be like hydrogen peroxide is an example of a reactive oxygen species.
Okay.
There's more than just that, but you know, for the sake of this, we'll keep it simple. Anyway, so they shoot reactive oxygen species at the foreign contaminant, and then they assume what's called a phagocytic role, and they absorb it. Now that takes a lot of energy.
Sure.
So like, you know, you're, you know, charging the gun, you're firing it, you're absorbing. If the cell doesn't have like enough energy to do that, it basically just gets stuck in kill mode.
Sure.
So it racks the mod deuce and just starts, you know, pumping reactive oxygen species downrange. Now, you know, that's happening at scale. We're talking about millions of cells doing this at a time. So now you've got all these Legos floating around in free space. These reactive oxygen species are being spit into that that space, and they're coating these Legos. It's called tau hyperphosphorylation. And once that happens, these Legos are now coated in this sticky goo that is toxic, and they stick together.
Okay.
They're floating around and just gathering up in these large balls. They're called neurofibrillary tangles, and they get bigger and bigger and bigger.
It's pretty much like, just for the audience to recognize, when you have too much mucus that builds up.
Yeah.
Right? It becomes a cascading effect in a negative fashion.
Yep. And eventually these tangles get so big that they interfere with the signaling of neurons.
And is this because, so your brain doesn't have a lymph system, so there's no way to like get rid of these foreign bodies, right?
I mean, there's several things you can do. I mean, your brain technically, when you're sleeping, and this is why sleep is so important, your cerebrospinal fluid, you know, exchanges. Flushing. Yeah, it flushes out. So, you know, it's one of the primary issues with TBI is that sleep, it, you know, it's typically affected pretty negatively. So then you get stuck in a scenario where now you've got all of these, you know, so Lego sticking
recycling
together.
And taking out the trash happens when you're sleeping.
Yep.
And if your sleep is off, you know, you're not going through that rhythm.
You're not properly. Going through the cleaning cycle, and boom, it's going to be gummed up.
Sure.
And that's, you know, that whole process, it's not quick. You can be in that state of microglial priming for years. It literally lasts until it kills you.
Wow.
So that's why you see someone who, like, they have a TBI, they'll get a little bit better, then they plateau, and then all of a sudden it's like, boom, that's when those, you know, those neurofibrillary tangles start interfering with those neurons.
Okay. Interfering with the signals. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah. So essentially what you're doing with these therapies as well is kind of cleaning that. So where's that connection come in?
Here's where that connection comes in. So this whole process, right? It's super inflammatory. Like, you can imagine the issues that it's causing. Now, the blood vessels in your brain are very small. Mm-hmm. Your body is designed to deliver oxygen using a red blood cell that's basically driving down a single lane country road. You have one of these incidents happen, whether it's PTSD to a lesser degree on the inflammation side, or TBI. Now all of a sudden, country roads closed like rock slide. That truck is no longer able to deliver oxygen to the village on the other side of the pass.
Sure.
Your cells. So those cells, they don't just die all of a sudden. They so without oxygen, you cannot complete the electron transport chain. That's how the primary way that our cells make ATP. If you take out the O2, that whole process cannot be completed. So the cell has to use anaerobic glycolysis, which is a much dirtier way of making energy. It's how cancer cells make energy. Mm-hmm. They have to resort to anaerobic glycolysis to stay alive. So now, if you imagine that village, like on the other side of the other side of the pass, they're no longer burning, you know, let's just say natural gas. You know, it's pretty clean. They're no longer able to burn natural gas. They're like, well, shit, now we've got nothing but our wood stoves. Now you got a whole valley, you know, using their wood stoves, and it builds up all of these.
And this is how these horrible conditions like dementia and Alzheimer's are formed, right? And
they're especially all tauopathies. They're all tauopathies.
Burning dirty as well. Mm-hmm. You're essentially, you know, all the sugar in the brain. It's what you eat, but it's also very detrimental in that, like, Alzheimer's is essentially like type 3 diabetes, right?
I've heard it called that before.
Yeah. But it's that dirty burn. So you don't have that clean system, that clean highway.
Yeah. We haven't even touched on the nutrition part. This is just what's happening. You could be eating clean as hell, and this process is still happening. Yeah. You add in, you know, poor nutrition on top of that. Like, you are
inflammatory foods.
Yeah. Dude, you're creating the optimal environment for your brain to just kill itself. Uh-huh. And so what can we do about this? Well,
what can we do about
what
this?
What can Sam? We do about this? I'm about to tell you. So what can we do about this? Well, we can take the truck out of the equation. So instead of, you know, relying on that truck to that red blood cell to deliver oxygen to the village, we can use things like hyperbaric oxygen therapy to essentially, you know, create a pipeline. So hyperbaric oxygen therapy, I know you guys have talked about it a lot. You know, you're downregulating inflammation just by the nature of being under pressure. you're hyper-oxygenating the blood plasma. So now, instead of waiting on that truck, you've created a pipeline. And now you can start deliver much needed oxygen to the cells that are basically in a hypoxic state. Mm-hmm. And then the body can start to heal itself. You add in the proper nutrition, and you know, this is one of the things that our programs are based on, is one, downregulate inflammation, clear the rock slide. We don't want that shit in the way anymore. Two, proper nutrition, making sure that the entire organism, you as the entire organism, are properly fueled, that you have all the micronutrients that you need to actually heal. And then, you know, creating that system where oxygen is freely flowing to those areas of the brain so that your cells can actually start to repair.
Sure. Yeah. That is interesting. So, and ketamine, let's talk about how that's affecting too.
Yeah. So, you know, ketamine does a couple different things. One, it downregulates inflammatory cytokine production. So again, we're helping clear that road, and that's that downregulation of inflammatory cytokines, is a reason that, you know, if you have someone who has a traumatic brain injury, they're, you know, let's say having post-concussive migraines every day, you can sit them down and go through a series of ketamine infusions. And what we've observed is that typically about number two, like the second one, which is like day three, all of a sudden their headaches are gone. Hmm. Because that, you know, they finally get relief from that inflammation. The brain fog starts to go away. So about, you know, treatment four, five, and six are like, holy shit, like I feel the best that I have felt in years. Like one of the guys in that we had in Patriot Power Up, like got blown up in Iraq, thrown out of the turret. We've all heard that story. He literally had woken up every day for the last 19 years with a migraine.
Mm. Wow. That would be brutal.
I wouldn't make it 19 years. I'll tell you that.
How,
yeah. Hasn't had a headache since he started treatment.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah.
I really want to dive into inflammation a little bit more. And I want you to explain that, because when the typical uneducated individual hears about inflammation, it doesn't resonate quite the same, right? Inflammation happens everywhere in your body. It could happen with whatever you eat. If you eat something like spinach, and that bloating, this is inflammation in the body. So let's talk about that and how we mitigate that response.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and you know, inflammation does get a bad name. Like there are a lot of instances where inflammation is actually good for you. You know, you get an injury like that. Some of those inflammatory processes are meant to stabilize, you know, musculature so that you don't further injure. The issue becomes when it is a chronic, you know, when it's a chronic happenstance. So,
and then you get that positive feedback loop.
Mm-hmm, yeah. When it's just, it keeps building on itself.
This is like MRSA or MRSA actually affects that response in a negative fashion, where your inflammatory response is driving too hard.
Yeah.
And becoming more of the problem.
Yep. I mean, a lot of autoimmune diseases are starting to find out, or, you know, in part of that kind of similar positive feedback loop. I'd call it a negative feedback loop, because it really sends you down a bad place
quickly. I know. I wish I could, but you give something and it makes it more, right?
Yeah. yeah. So
positively negative feedback.
positively negative feedback. I love that. TM.
Trademark.
Trademark it. how do we interdict that? One, ketamine. Like, you are downregulating the production of those pro-inflammatory molecules called cytokines. Mm. You know, that's just one piece.
And is it specifically within the brain or throughout?
It's within the whole body.
Okay.
Yeah. The other thing that ketamine does is also upregulates brain-derived neurotropic factor, the hormone that causes it causes your neurons to branch out, create new dendritic connections. It increases dendritic spining. So
BDNF, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah. Yep. Brain-derived neurotropic factor. So, you know, p- patient starts to feel better, we've downregulated that inflammatory process for a short period of time with the ketamine, but then immediately into the hyperbaric oxygen therapy where we are forcing inflammation down with the pressure that we're using, and hyperoxygenating the bloodstream. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we've provided that initial relief. And for a lot of guys, you know, you got dudes who are suffering for 10, 20, sometimes 30 years with these processes.
Well, let's look at the Vietnam era,
yeah,
right? Where we didn't even have any of this. So you're talking the late 60s, 70s, and you know, people treating you like garbage. We didn't even call it shell shock still, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So some of these guys, and we've had guests on the show, 40 years.
60 years.
40, yeah. 50 years.
Yeah.
It's one of the reasons that we use ketamine as a therapeutic up front, because it's like, if you know, these guys have been to the doctor tons of times. Mm-hmm. They've never found any relief from, you know, the typical medical establishment.
Surprise.
And if you can take that person and go, hey, let me just knock that monkey off your back. Let's just make those symptoms go away, and all of a sudden they feel relief for the first time. Like, all right, what do we do next?
Yeah.
And that's when the true work begins as mm-hmm. well, too. And I really like to emphasize that is the integration period and the work that you do in conjunction with that. There's a common misconception that, yeah, I do these therapies and I'm going to be right as rain. No, that's not the case. You need to be, you know, putting things together, whether it's journaling or meditation or these other practices that are established with that, proper nutrition, proper sleep, getting the most water that you should have, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think that's really important to touch as well.
Oh yeah. I mean, you know, that's a really good point. And that's one of the things that we do, you know, within the program is, again, we're optimizing nutrition, making sure that individuals are getting the proper amount of sleep, and making sure they're working out every day as well.
Yeah.
So that we can just prepare the body and the brain to actually heal on a permanent basis. Mm-hmm. 'Cause without that stuff, it doesn't matter. Like if you're eating like shit and you're not sleeping, like none of this stuff matters. You'll get a short-term relief and then you're going to go right back to where you were.
Yeah.
If you take, you know, you take these therapies and use it as a platform to make those lifestyle changes, now you've created a system that is optimized for a positive mental health outcome.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you've seen how some of these therapies work, and you mentioned before the show seeing the actual MRIs and like actual data driven behind this. Mm-hmm. Can you talk about some of the things that you're seeing and compare it to those that you're seeing on SSRIs and that kind of thing?
Yeah. Well, I mean, so one, you know, it's a brand new program. We use neuropsychiatric testing to measure executive function, reaction time. There's over 15 different metrics. So,
okay.
You know, as we're seeing a dramatic drop in symptoms, so like PHQ-9 and GAD-7 are our depression and our anxiety measures. We're seeing those start at severe or moderate to severe, and within about between 10 to 18 days in our Patriot Power Up program, those symptoms are going from severe to fairly non-existent. Wow. Like,
what are you using to measure these?
So that's the PHQ-9 and GAD-7. They're self-reported metrics for anxiety and depression, and they're kind of the standard. Mm-hmm. We're working on integrating EEG here, in the next couple months to get a better, you know, better picture. Mm-hmm. But the neuropsych testing is also really big. You know, if you guys ever take the ANAM, when you deployed, you know, you had to take like the test where you do the finger tapping.
Yeah. So, oh yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah. So that's actually a pretty good measure of, like, you know, you're a couple different parts of the brain. Mm-hmm. And what we're seeing is not only are we getting this drastic reduction in the symptomology, we're also seeing executive function, you know, increase dramatically. We're talking 40%.
Wow.
Yeah. In
dramatic.
Like, yeah. Like over the course of 30 days.
Mm. Wow.
So, you know, not only feeling better, but your brain is performing better.
Mm, sure.
And, you know, as this builds out, we're bringing in more and more metrics. We were talking about benzodiazepines and spec scans.
Yes.
And, you know, that I think that's where we're headed. Like, mm-hmm. not as a program, spec scans are really expensive.
Yeah.
But being able to image the brain more effectively is a really powerful tool that, you know, is evolving over time.
Yeah, absolutely.
So can you talk a little bit about the integration of psychedelics? I know we covered this a little bit. Does your clinic focus on that at all?
We're within the VA Community Care Network.
Sure.
So we have to adhere to federal regulations.
Absolutely.
Yeah, my clinic in Denver and some of the other businesses that I'm starting in Colorado, we can do psilocybin legally.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how are you seeing that? Is there compounding effects when used in conjunction with the other modalities you offer at Patriot Power Up?
So I can only speak to this anecdotally.
Sure.
I don't have studies to back this up. What I have observed personally is that, psilocybin is an amazing tool, especially if it's paired with something like ketamine. So, I've seen, friends of mine and other individuals who have been struggling super hard. They get a series of ketamine infusions. If you just did the ketamine alone, typically, about 8 to 10 weeks, your symptoms start to, come back up. That monkey starts to climb up on your back.
Sure.
If you supplement a ketamine regimen with something like microdosing psilocybin, the monkey doesn't get a chance to climb back up on your back. At least that's what I've observed anecdotally.
Interesting.
I mean, it's one of the reasons they think that ketamine works is because of that upregulation in BDNF, that creation of new synaptic connections, of thinking about things in a different way. Instead of the dog barks and it sets you off and makes you, think of, stepping on an IED in Iraq. Now it's just, all right, the dog's just barking.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to trigger that same pathway because now you've created, trails around that, that normal pathway that your brain would use.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. Can you talk a little bit about the protocols that you guys are implementing and what does it actually look like? If I wanted to start a treatment with you, would you guys be addressing symptoms that I'm facing, or do you have more of an overall prescribed protocol that everyone goes through? What does that look like?
We've got a couple different tracks depending on, how acute symptomology is.
Okay.
One of the big things with our program is, get a good picture of what's going on. Then, we typically use, a combination of ketamine infusion therapy, hyperbaric oxygen therapy, and transcranial magnetic stimulation. Again, not everybody qualifies for those. We still have to meet VA requirements.
And what are the requirements?
So the requirements for ketamine therapy are 3 failed antidepressants or acute suicidality. So if someone is having I'm suicidal, I got a plan. We're like, cool, got you. And it's kind of the same for TMS. They typically want to see you try a couple of antidepressants and fail. Little eye roll there, but we got to play the game.
That's one of those things too that we just talked about is we want to prevent the usage of these medications.
Yeah.
But psychiatry
as a whole doesn't agree with you, unfortunately.
I agree. And listen,
I'm curious. So, you have true data that's showcasing within a short amount of time, people are coming off SSRIs, people are fixing the issues.
Well, they're not necessarily coming off SSRIs. We don't do a whole lot of med management within our program.
I guess that's a question I can ask.
Yeah.
Do you see people coming off them after they're going through your protocol?
It's common for individuals going through this protocol to not feel the need to take antidepressants anymore.
Okay.
Yeah.
But
I see how careful you are to write that.
I have this needle and I've got to thread it.
Yeah.
we're talking broad strokes,
broad strokes.
Makes sense. Yeah. From an observational standpoint, typically in alternative modalities, we see people come off of medication.
We see people not feel the need to continue that medication to begin to titrate off it. Yeah. That's common.
Well, that's the direction that I was going with. Why I asked that is if this is something that's sponsored through the VA, this is coming from VA dollars in part, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Why would the VA, who's so conscious about their budgets, all that seems to matter to them, continue throwing long-term money at people instead of short-term 30-day, 40-day fixes that, elevate you beyond that level that can help you to come off of these long-term.
Well, I don't think that that there's been enough people coming in making solutions that work within the framework and also deliver this. So,
so it's too early.
Yeah.
It's data as well.
It's data.
They always say that it's too inconclusive. There's not enough data out there. And what do they need? They need 20, 30, 40 years of data before they start looking at it.
Or just lots and lots of people.
And then since the 80s, we've also been shoving lies down people's throats and you think you're going to get your brain all holed up. You know,
that the dare lion lied to you.
Yeah. That's your brain bleeding. I remember hearing that one. Like if you take psilocybin, that's your brain building a bleeding when you're seeing all those waves. that is common thinking.
Yeah. Well, hey man, we got sold a bag of goods.
Yeah. The war on drugs was just a war on information.
Oh yeah, man. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, how different would the armed forces as a whole, I guess I'll phrase this differently. How different would the military be from like an alcohol related incident standpoint if they were allowed to partake in marijuana?
Oh my God. It would be non-existent.
how many privates would, try to drive through the gate drunk?
Yeah.
I bet we'd see that drop precipitously.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the only thing they're driving through is a bag of Doritos.
Yeah. I'm inclined to agree.
The alcohol is just poison.
Oh yeah, man.
And that's a great point too, is how often are you observing the usage of alcohol decrease?
Oh, I mean, well, obviously we're in an inpatient program, so nobody's drinking while they're here, but yeah. Ketamine is actually like, there are several peer reviewed studies, that show the efficacy of ketamine to treat alcohol use disorder.
Okay.
I know friends who have done it that were heavy drinkers, and after a series of ketamine, they're like, yeah, I just don't feel the need. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't feel the compulsion. And I'm excited because like the next 10 years are going to be the most exciting that psychiatry has ever seen. Like, we've got things like Ibogaine, like, although definitely like clinically monitored, don't do that shit at home. It can kill you, but
can absolutely kill you.
The ability to clean out dopaminergic connections and step around the withdrawal phase from opiates. Holy shit, dude.
Yeah. We both went through this program, a couple years ago, and the usage for alcohol on people like decreases exponentially. And it is just a super intense drug, essentially a plant, medicine, whatever you want to call it.
Compound,
whatever. Yeah. Root.
I hate the D word. The D word gets thrown around.
Yeah. I like to say drugs.
We're just going to paint the whole house one color.
Yeah. But the clinician there was talking about how this has a 40% chance of taking of heroin addiction, essentially getting people off of heroin.
And within two uses, it's like 90% or something.
Yeah, insane. Within the first usage of this. Like, yeah. Absolutely insane. Absolutely insane. And we have clinics that make so much money, and we talk about this all the time, so much money from putting people on methadone and other crap. I mean, it's worse for them.
It's gonna change. Like, there's no way. I have a lot of faith in the individuals that are pushing psychedelics forward, like Rick Doblin, MAPS, Beckley Foundation. Yeah. Like, there are some badass scientists working on doing this research in the most scientific and critical fashion. I mean, Stanford with the Ibogaine study.
Yeah,
like, Stanford Medical School doesn't fuck around.
I love where your head's at, but my greatest fear is that there's also amazing businessmen out there as well, right? And Big Pharma has already noticed the trend that we're seeing today, and they are the ones that are funding these now.
I mean, nobody likes Big Pharma. All right. That's fair.
Sure.
If there's a way to monetize more healing protocols, like in healing drugs that are getting better outcomes, it sounds like the economics of the situation and the morality of the situation are are coming into phase for once.
It sounds like it, but you can't even get nutrition from a damn apple anymore, man.
You know what I'm talking about? You've got me
there. You know, yeah. So I think that, or at least my fear is that they're going to field strip some of the amazing benefits that you get out of this to keep you coming back. Yeah. Well, why would I give you one drug that's going to be a miracle cure for everything when I could give you a portion of a miracle drug that lets you have a prescription forever?
Yeah.
Well, so that's what I fear.
It's also we need to have a shift to value-based care.
Agreed.
Like, of course.
And like that they happens are patients, on the insurance side of the house.
Yeah. Patients, not customers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know?
They're not clients.
Patients, you're trying to fix them. That should be the purpose. Yeah. You brought up Ibogaine, so I'm curious what your studies have been, whether it's anecdotal or...
Personally tried Ibogaine. I've just read about it.
Sure. And how does that play into the things that you're trying to address? And what have you seen or what have you read? And how does it play into the therapies that you guys are offering?
So I don't think there's, at least not at this point, we're mental health primary. Mm-hmm. We don't do, although we can treat people that, you know, are at least like 30 days sober, like that acute phase that Ibogaine seems to be really effective towards, doesn't mesh with our program as much.
Okay.
But I certainly see, you know, the validity of things like MDMA, or psilocybin. That's, you know, a lot closer to where we want to be. And you know, we're looking into it, but again, you know, we got to deal with all the federal regulations, make sure we're aligned with everything. And it's still a couple of years. It's going to be a couple of years before, any national programs are going to be able to pick that up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Are you seeing much lobbying around these? Are you
starting to?
You have the finger on the pulse with that kind of stuff. A
decent amount.
Because we've obviously seen some states and some cities decriminalize things. Mm-hmm. You know, like mushrooms, and Oregon just kind of went and said you can have whatever you want. I'm not here to talk about the morality behind it, but I mean, are you seeing lobbying going in this direction? Or
I mean, dude, I live in Denver.
Yeah, like, exactly. So Denver's Prop one of the cities.
Colorado, it is, plant medicine is legal to grow.
Yeah. You just go down to the store and buy it, right?
So not yet.
Okay.
The way that Prop 122 was written was for personal use and consumption. And then they are in the midst of creating the regulatory framework for clinics to use it in a medical capacity.
Excellent.
So like right now, like I could, if you know, I could hand you a bag of mushrooms in front of a cop and can't do anything about it.
Sure. Okay.
You know,
you could also, it's the seeds too. So like if you have someone that's actively growing mushrooms, I could gift those seeds to someone spores. And they can start growing spores, whatever. Semantics.
Those are important semantics.
You got me on that.
Learn your mycelium, David.
I know, Jesus. But
your mycelium is weak.
Yeah. The whole point is that you could grow, no problem.
Yeah,
in Colorado. At least,
yeah,
in but Colorado. Yet you know you have people that are getting felony charges for even having a single cap on them here in Texas.
Yeah,
I cannot speak to the
freedom.
The freedom under certain parameters. Under certain parameters,
we just all get on the same page here about this. Yeah. There is literal research for how this is saving people's lives, and you're going to lock people away. But I could go have a goddamn handle of alcohol, and trash a bar up and everything, and still get less of a charge than I would. With that. It's frustrating.
Yeah. The non
goddamn spores.
Them goddamn spores up in there.
The goddamn spores everywhere.
They took our spores. Yeah, I mean.
Seeds. I'm never going to live that one down.
No, you're not. You're the seed guy.
You think mushrooms have seeds, huh?
Hey, you pick them out of the caps. That's where they come from.
Yeah.
I mean, dude, that's a whole nother podcast.
Yeah, sure.
I'm like, you know, not, yeah, it's wild, man. Like the fact that just a couple of years ago, you know, it's not as bad anymore, but like just a single joint, like marijuana, like, come on, man, the plant grows in the ground. Leave it alone.
Yeah.
Like,
they haven't left it alone, and it's gotten so damn strong now that you can't even regulate it or like modulate the amount of that you're intaking. Is what I
was gonna say. Come to Colorado, we regulated just fine.
Well, that's what I like. Yeah, 30%. Like,
yeah, it's the Joe Rogan joke where he's like, yeah, I bought an edible. He's like, hey man, how much should I take? Oh. Only a leg.
Yeah. Don't take too much. Yeah.
Bought an edible. Yeah, the gummy bear.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's a thing too that we found. You know, I think California is really bad at it in that they just they make it. I mean, almost a drug.
Well, I mean, it's like LSD.
A pure psychedelic experience with some of that stuff.
Yeah, and people are taking, you know, smoking this stuff and driving, and that's again my fear behind it. Like I encourage the safe and productive use of it, right? Not taking your alcoholism and turning it into weedism, because a lot of people do that.
Oh, totally.
And
it just becomes a lot of people in our community do that.
Absolutely, yeah. And when you're going from, well, I'm not drinking anymore, but you know, I have to wake up and I smoke this strain, and then the mid afternoon I have this, and then at night I have this, and it's just an all day thing. You're like, you know, you just traded one for the other.
Yeah.
And I think there, you know, people have to take some responsibility with it too, and you know, really ask yourself the question, like, am I masking something with this? Is this actually a benefit to me? Is it helping me, or am I using it as a crutch?
Yeah, right? Am I using it to escape my current reality?
And that's intention as well. Is you know, anyone who's used psilocybin out there can say, in a recreational setting, it's very different than an intentional setting.
Very much.
Yeah.
And you're going to get different benefits from each of those experiences. You might have a great time on this, but if you set that intention of this is what I want to get through on this, you're going to have a different journey.
Oh yeah. Well, also being in like the medical model where you're being observed by, you know, someone who has experience in integrating these things. Cause you know, if you know, one of the things that we see all the time is like someone's like, oh yeah, I'm just going to take some mushrooms. You're like, dude, there are hundreds of different genuses of psilocybin producing mushrooms. That's like saying, like, I'm going to drink an alcohol.
Yeah.
Like, and like to a much lesser degree, there aren't that many types of the booze, but like,
yeah,
like, you know, someone like, oh, you know, had three caps and a stem. You're like, you don't know how much psilocybin's in that.
Yeah.
You can't like, at all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like at least grind
that's
it up.
That's a great point. There is a menu of options out there, just like spirits.
Yeah.
That all have different things as well. Mm-hmm. Like different moods and different experiences as you're going to go through this, you know, and that's why, you know, having those people who are growing these to have those intentions as well, you know, is what's the point of this? Is the same with weed. Is this going to get you just baked out of your mind because the THC content is high as can be? Same thing happens with mushrooms.
Yeah, but I mean, the dissociative panic attack that comes with taking too much psilocybin when you're not ready for it is no joke.
Sure.
It can cause serious harm.
Yes.
And that's something that, you know, has to be part of the conversation too.
Absolutely.
I've been to my own like personal worst fear before, and I wouldn't want anybody else to have to do
that. Well, that's Ibogaine right there. For all of those who don't know what Ibogaine is, and we've experienced it, and I always say, they're like, what's it like? You know, I'm very curious about it. Well, you will face your own demons in that one. You will face your greatest fear. And most people are like, F that. Yeah. You know? But that's, you know, and I think that's a great veteran mentality too, is you get into this point, hopefully, where you get really in deep with self-healing and getting past those traumas that you face. I think that's a new generational thing, and it's very beautiful.
Yeah.
I think addressing the risks, like you were saying, though, is very important, and the realities of the risks, too, because it is real. Same thing with high-dose edibles. Colorado has had an uptick in schizophrenic breaks by like 30% since legalization of weed, because people are taking massive doses of edibles. Someone who's prone to schizophrenia, somehow the correlation causes a break a little bit faster.
It's the same thing with psychedelics. Like
you can send yourself into a stupor really quickly.
Moderation is key for anything across the board. Too much of anything is detrimental.
Yeah.
And we see this with marijuana uses all the time. You hit it right on the head, is you swap one addiction out for another. Mm-hmm. And
yeah, it's important to address these things. And like, while we talk about on the show, we are proponents of this. We're proponents of the safe and overseen use of these things. We never encourage people to just clinically, go out and do it.
Yeah. Clinically overseen.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if you're new to the show and you're questioning, like, well, where do I find these clinics? Great question. We have a plethora of episodes that cover different places you can attend, much like Patriot Power Up.
If you're
interested in getting in touch there.
Yep. Just to be clear, we don't use psychedelics in Patriot Power Up.
Yes. Alternative modalities is more so what I mean.
I fucking hate that term too.
What do you want to use?
More effective treatment.
Sorry. That's opinionated.
The data supports it. my business partner, Dr. Giroux, has neuropsychotherapeutic programming.
That's a mouthful.
It is.
That's a mouthful.
It sounds like a PhD wrote that one.
It does. What's the acronym there then?
Neuropsychotherapeutic. It's not an acronym.
NPT?
Yeah. NPT. Yeah.
Yeah. We'll use that.
Neuropsychotherapeutic. Yeah. NPT.
Perfect. You can
so dive into it.
Yeah. So yeah, again, if someone wants to sign up for Patriot Power Up or get involved, how do they go about doing it? What's the funding look like? Do they just sign up on the website?
We're in network with the VA. So right now we're just in network with TriWest. So
you have
the west side of the country. Mm-hmm. How you access the program is, you know, you go to your primary care or your mental health provider at the VA. We're in network. They put in our NPI number, which we can, you know, leave in the show notes for people. You literally give the provider the NPI number and then they put in the referral. I get sent the referral and we make it happen.
Okay.
It is zero cost to the vet.
And they get flown out there. Mm-hmm. They get housed, lodging.
Yep. We've got nonprofits who'll help pay for flights.
Amazing.
They're housed, they're fed, like everything is taken care of. Wow. And they're staying in, you know, basically a posh ass Airbnb. So one of the things that I've gone to lots of mental health hospitals and that sterile feeling, like
clinical.
Clinical setting. The clinical setting doesn't have to feel like
that. It's stressful.
Like, but we want this thing. We worked really hard to make this entire program from front to back feel like the optimal place to heal your brain.
Excellent.
And, we're in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. So it's not like you're at a pretty ass place.
Beautiful.
You know, the houses are, you know, a couple minutes drive from the lake.
Okay.
It's a really serene, calming place. And, you know, you're finally taken out of your environment. You know, right now, all of our vets get their own rooms. So you, just creating that space, you know, not only with the therapeutics, you know, giving you space from those symptoms, but giving you that space to, like, actually heal. And then having that, you know, like we were talking about earlier, having that integration and having that intensive psychotherapy as a companion to that entire process, like that psychotherapy programming is incredibly important. And you know, we try really hard. I think we are very successful at integrating that throughout this process so that we're not just giving you the tools, but we're helping draw that new roadmap to a better life with you.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
I love that.
Beautiful.
And Coeur d'Alene, I mean, gives you a chance to be out in some nature too. How many vets do you, or is it only veterans?
Yeah. So we're only vets.
And how many people are there in the program at one time? What's the cycle look like?
Yeah. So right now, you know, we just started, so it's only a 4-bed program. It's very small, but we're rapidly expanding. We're, you know, hoping to be up to 10, 20 beds very shortly.
Okay.
So it's really just, you know, getting the word out,
getting
other people to give us a call so we can, you know, continue to grow this in a meaningful way.
From an entrepreneurial perspective, how was it breaching into the VA market?
Oh, it's hard. Getting someone at the VA to pick up the phone is not easy.
And it's just consistency, or what did you find that really worked for getting you established?
Well, so how I started is just going out and finding the veterans who are struggling and like, hey, come with me. Here's this process.
Okay.
And, you know, we're starting to get traction with the VA finally. You know, after 5 months,
which
that's not a long time.
That's it feels like a long time.
Oh man, 5 months. That's light speed, dude.
Well,
that's warp speed with the VA.
I've been trudging up this hill for a couple of years before we started Patriot Power Up.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
you know,
I'm
this
sure.
isn't like a, you know, snap your fingers and it's done thing. This was like
overnight success. Overnight success is great when you look at it from the outside.
Yeah,
right?
But hey, it takes 10 years.
And that's why I asked the question is there's always an underlying journey to get to that point. As well, and it's really unfortunate because your heart is in the right place. You're trying to take care of these vets and giving them alternative means to get off of medications or even just not put a gun in their mouth.
Let's start there.
So, very knowledgeable. I really appreciate you coming on the show and kind of breaking it down. It's wonderful. We have a lot of these conversations with subject matter experts across the board. And just diving in deeper to the biochemistry, I think, is so important into understanding that it is so all-encompassing. It's all holistic. Everything works in a function, and when everything's, you know, working and jiving correctly, you're sleeping right, you're eating right, you know, all these things are going to start being better in your life. So thanks for sharing. Is there any last minute kind of words you'd like to say to the audience?
Yeah. I mean, I just want people out there. I want veterans out there to know that there is hope. You don't, if you're struggling, if you're suffering, you don't have to feel this way. This is not something that, you know, that you need to carry around for the rest of your life until it kills you. Like not only is there hope, there are programs that can help you heal your damn brain. Mm-hmm. And, you know, not only are they there, but like engage, don't just sit and suffer in silence. That, you know, I'm sure you guys hear it all the time. And I hear it too. You know, I don't want to take resources that someone else, you know, there's always someone who's more, you know, screwed up than me.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, hey, like fuck that.
Yeah.
Like, it's here for you too.
Like, you owe, not only do you owe it to yourself, but you owe it to your family. Mm-hmm. You owe it to the people around you to be a better version of yourself. So,
yeah,
you know, reach out, check it out. Like there are ways to make it so not only you, but the people around you don't have to continue suffering.
Mm-hmm. Where can we find information?
Yeah. So, you can find information on the program on our website, patriotpowerup.com. And, you know, we'll have, I'm sure we'll have all the info and the phone number and stuff in the show notes.
Absolutely.
So, you know, the phone number that I'm going to provide you guys goes directly to me. And I
careful with that.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Maybe after this, we'll have to change that. But yeah. You know, I like to get as hands on as I can with our vets and make sure that they're taken care of. Cause like vets got to help vets.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, beautiful. Thank you for sharing. Appreciate you coming on the show.